This free program is paid for by the listeners of WBAI New York. If you're not already a member, think about joining us to help keep free speech alive. This free program is paid for by the listeners of WBAI New York. If you're not already a member, think about joining us to help keep free speech alive.
Well, the first thing I had to do was look up the word indigenous. The second thing I had to do was figure out what the hell this woman was talking about, because frequently I don't remember what goes on here from minute to minute, much less from week to week to week to week to week. I mean, sometimes I get a little flashback of something that happened, but I have, like, a friend. I was telling a friend of mine last night, no longer a friend of mine after what I told him last night. I said to him, you seem to have a guardrail shield against emotions of distress, you know. He's one of these people who can sort of deflect anything that's going to be painful for the minute and just go on to what has to be done. And I admire that and what relevance it has. I have kind of a guardrail shield against what goes on here in the morning. I sort of block it out. I don't like to think about it. And then it comes back in bits and pieces. So anyway, the next thing I had to say is, what is she talking about? Why is she coming in here talking about cockroaches? And then I realized, remember that a couple of weeks ago we were talking about cockroaches. Anyway, in the interesting, boring facts department, according to this learned person, this is an extremely learned person. In fact, she never goes anywhere without a complete set of the Encyclopedia Britannica. This is a learned person. She says that cockroaches came to this country, in the 30s or something, earlier in this century, and they were brought here by German craftsmen. And you know what what German craftsmen have crafted over the years. When they were building the Croton Dam. I guess that's the dam that's right up here in Croton. Hence the name, the Croton Dam. Hey, this kid's no dummy. He can put two and two together. He can come out with six, but he can put it together. And what happened is, these bozos, these German craftsmen, because the dam was all built by hand, very much in the fashion of the pyramids, according to my uninformed informant. You know what people do? People come around here and they give me misinformation purposely, because they know I'm so hard up for anything to say on the air that I'm bound to spew it forth on the air and come up looking like a complete ridiculous idiot. That's what I think is going on here. There's a small conspiracy among my comrades. But anyway, this may or may not be the truth, and that these German skilled laborers or craftspeople or whatever they were came over here with roaches in their clothes and left them here, and I guess they must have taken to the environment immediately, because they seem to have adapted quite well to the locale. Now, you can take that piece of information and do whatever. You can cram it, you know, you can check it out, you can forget it, you can eat it, you can do whatever you want with it. You can, as I said, forget it, or you can go to a party tonight, whatever, and bore people. All right. Another listener. See? It's mounting up to 12 almost. As we go here, a listener sent me this, a listener told me that, a listener, we almost have 12. Sent me something that I would otherwise not have seen, and otherwise would not have cared about, to be perfectly honest with you, just like a piece of information about cockroaches. And this is in the Department of Cockroaches, by the way. This is in the Department of the Multiplication of Cockroaches. This is from a publication called the Columbia University Alumni Magazine. Ha ha, somebody, you know, flunked out of high school is not likely to receive or see, generally, the Columbia University Alumni Faculty, whatever it is, magazine. Alumni magazine. And this is apparently a feature called Faculty Profile, wherein they interview or do a piece about somebody on the faculty or formerly on the faculty. And this person's name, I'm sorry to say, I have absolutely no idea how to pronounce. First name is K-O-J-I. Koji would be if it was Japanese, and maybe it is Japanese. That's what it is, Japanese. Koji. See, now, I didn't try up until this point. I just took one look at this name and I said I'll never be able to pronounce it. Nakanishi. Koji Nakanishi, who is a chemistry professor and obviously has, you know, other interesting sidelines. And one of them is the study of the reproductive life of cockroaches. So I thought this listener who sent it in, even knowing that I don't have much of a capacity, even marked off for me the spot that I'm to look at and said, "Dear Steve, the outline paragraph may be of interest to you." Very simple. People write to me in very simple sentences, very simple directives. They know exactly what I'm capable of and what I'm not capable of. So it says here, when Nakanishi, what did I say? Nakanishi. When Nakanishi first came to Columbia in 1969, one of his prime interests was to pursue. What is the matter with me? One of his prime interests was to pursue research in cockroaches and their sexual mechanisms. I don't mean to arouse anybody's prurient interests here, so be careful. Get into like a wet tub, a cold wet tub or something, or wrap yourself in cold wet compresses here if this is beginning to arouse you, because we're not permitted to do that over the airwaves. But this project was dropped in 1972 because New Yorkers will find this hard to believe, the Columbia labs were unable to mass rear enough specimens for the experiments. To amuse a group of visitors, however, Nakanishi will still, on occasion, give a command performance of the strength of the cockroach's sex drive. Now, I know maybe you didn't know this. You didn't know that the cockroach was a real oversexed item.
Did you notify Albert Grossman we were going to fly low?
No, I didn't notify Albert Grossman. Who's Albert Grossman?
He's my pepper maker. He makes all the pepper and keeps a good supply of
He's the magic bandages. Christian pepper maker?
Magic Christian maker of pepper, yes.
Uh-huh.
But, I wouldn't classify him really to that. That doesn't really catch the boundary of his, of his jumps. But it does good enough for the normal person on the street, I guess.
It bounds off the edges?
Yeah, whatever edges there are to him.
Oh, he's kind of round.
Yeah, well, let's go in there. Can we go in there? Can we just play a record in the meantime and go in there and just...
any records you want to hear?
Oh, yeah, I want to hear that Lightning Hopkins record.
You want to hear Lightning Hopkins?
Yeah, it's about Drive My Car. You can be in my car and...
let's see.
Oh, wait, no. It's
I don't know. I have one Lightning Hopkins record in here, I think. Oh, I can't find it in the dark.
Oh, well, don't... Hey, that's no sacrifice. Oh,
close you.
What
close
a cop-out. You're really a cop-out, right?
Lend him your...
This music station
your
business
suede
really,
shade.
Really got... I don't have suede shades. You must be telling me something about
That's some Ravi Shankar.
Oh, come on. I want to be serious. What else do you got?
That's a test record here, yodeling in high fly.
Jesus.
Lightning Hopkins.
Let me see what it is. All right. Let me pick one.
You pick one.
Lightning Hopkins. I wish I was a baby. Lightning Hopkins. Did he say that?
Well, no, he sung it. Oh. It's kind of a talking...
We know all about those songs.
Say it, I wish you wouldn't drop your ashes on my Jose Feliciano records there.
Oh, good God.
Boy.
Poor Jose.
Boy. why don't we put
him between those wires over there?
Talk about the subconscious.
Let him hang
out
for a while.
Yeah.
God, that's the first terrible thing I've said all night. I've been trying to be good.
Yeah. Hey,
Christmas time is coming. I don't think this is the right album. This is a Joseph Spence album.
No. This is the Lightning Hopkins album.
I see. I was looking at the Joseph Spence cover.
Yeah. Hey, how about giving me back that Lenny Bruce record I lent you 3 years ago? Have you got it with you?
Hey, come on. I don't mind making conversation, but Jesus God, man. Don't just come and try to put garbage in my,
And you better watch taking the name of what's his name, in vain.
Who, Lenny Bruce?
No, you said those other things there.
Lenny Hopkins?
No, you said, the expletive there.
Who?
Just because Nietzsche says he's dead,
Nietzsche,
yeah. Hey, did you see that thing? Did you see that thing?
Which Nietzsche, man?
Did you see that on the front page, I think, of the Herald Tribune, there were these women knitting an enormous sampler, sewing on the sampler that said, keep alive the rumor that God, keep the rumor in circulation that God is alive.
Well, I would suggest that's better than a lot of other slogans I've heard.
I can't think of one that it's better than.
Oh, it's better than...
I haven't heard
it. It's certainly better than I'd rather fight than switch.
But it doesn't say who.
Oh, what does it care? We care who. I'd rather hear... What was that one you... What did you say? What was it?
The one that I used to say?
Yeah, the one you just said. What was that?
Keep alive...
Hold it. Don't play another American until we settle this.
Keep God alive because the rumor is dead. The fellow who lived in the third floor
now
back.
I think that's a much better rumor to spread. Then I'd rather fight than switch. No, that's all I said. Right? I think that's what I said. Bob, quit reaching around me. Bob, quit kissing me. Bob. Bob, no. No, Bob. Ah.
You don't know what love is. This is Bob Pass, and I'm walking along State Street, which is a street that, to the best of my imperfect knowledge of Chicago's geography, runs parallel to Michigan Avenue. There is a march of perhaps 500 people that are trying to make it to the amphitheater. They've been told by the police that they will be stopped at 16th Street. So far, 18th Street, not 16th Street. So far, we just heard word on one of the portable walkie loudspeaker machines that 11 delegates had been arrested. There are about 150 delegates here who have walked out of the convention and are participating in this march. People are lined up along the street, three or four abreast. I don't want to give the impression that it's an orderly, military-style march. It's nothing of the sort. Kids are riding by on bicycles and cheering the marchers on. We're now just about under the Illinois Central tracks. You can probably hear a train going on overhead. The crowd is not a particularly hippie or yippie-looking crowd, though there certainly are people that could be described as hippies or yippies in it. There are lots of so-called straight people. I see a lot of people carrying what look like palm branches. Sign that says, "Welcome to Prague." In this area, there are both National Guard troops and Chicago police.
One of the main benefits from the Gerson therapy, and an overwhelming number of the cancer cases I personally interviewed, is the relief of pain. In 1946, Dr. George Miley of the Gotham Hospital in New York testified before a congressional hearing on cancer research that was using the Gerson diet. He said, "We have observed marked relief of pain in approximately 90% of the patients who entered the hospital with severe pain due to cancer," unquote. He pointed out that the only other way to abolish pain was through the use of narcotics, which, of course, as we know, has deleterious effects on the patient's general health. Well, throughout the program, patients are encouraged to eat and drink as much as they wish so that a healthy metabolism is restored. They're also advised to use fruits and vegetables grown without the use of insecticides. Dr. Gerson developed his diet therapy through years of highly controlled clinical work. He was born in Wangsworth, Germany, on October 18, 1881. Dr. Gerson studied medicine at the University of Breslau in Berlin. And from 1909 until the beginning of the First World War, he worked in internal medicine and physiological chemistry in Berlin at the hospital in Friedensheiding. In 1919, he settled in a small town and practiced as a specialist in internal medicine and...
Okay. refusing or choosing not to recognize what the government of Panama presents as its official and legal representatives, would it be out of line to suggest that this is part of an effort to overthrow the government of Panama?
Definitely, because it's all part of the plan and part of the scheme. Because first they come with the economic embargo, then they take over the embassy and the consulate, and they have all the legal machinery behind them. Then they're going to perhaps go into a trade embargo, and then from there, who knows? Perhaps military intervention, just like Mr. Paredes said this evening on Morton Downey show. He said that he did not agree with military intervention, but then he contradicted himself in the course of the program, because then when the people that was the commentator and the audience was telling him, well, this canal, the canal, Panama and the canal belongs to us, so therefore we have a right to take it over, we have a right to annul the treaties in the past because we have this canal in perpetuity, then he started now to do the same thing that we're doing in terms of that the real issue here is the canal issue, that in the year 2000 that canal will not be reverted to Panamanians, that canal will remain the territory of the United States.
We will, in just a few minutes, take a much closer look at the issue.
Short excerpt is something that Ravi Barish recorded with Brownie Terry and Sonny McGee, and we don't really have enough time to play.
Brownie McGee and Sonny Terry.
Isn't that what I said almost?
They were called McTerry, like Brangelina, things like that.
Well, we're getting to the time when we're going to leave and go on, and Max Schmid will be here with something of the golden ages of other radio media. But before we do, I think we should put out a very big thanks to the Subway sandwich shop that provided the food for the day. I don't have the, or do I have the address of the shop? Wait. Here it is. Particular sandwich shop brought a wonderful array of gourmet treats.
Luncheon meats.
Gourmet treats and luncheon meats. The Subway sandwich shop is right here, 122 Water Street, and the owner, Fethi Hasno, contributed to us. Thank you very much. We also want to thank the bakers who brought and decorated a gorgeous, gorgeous birthday cake for WBAI. I don't know where to... here it is. The LGV Professional Cake Designers. And their location is...
Sunset Park.
Sunset Park. And they're on the web if you want to call them and talk to them about designing a cake at R-O-Y-D La Gran Via Bakery or Betsy La Gran Via Bakery or even a telephone number. I don't know whether that's getting too close to commercial announcement, but it's a gorgeous cake. I can hardly wait to throw it at some of the people in this room. Steve, we played a bit of what was your last Room 101 before.
That's when I had to turn down the monitor outside.
Why was that?
Here. Because I can't stand to listen to myself.
Well, it's, again, that's a very popular feeling, Steve. Well,
right. Nobody can stand to listen to me.
That's not true.
People were going to sleep in the room at the
exactly.
time.
Exactly. Heads are falling on the console.
I'm used to that, you know. Sometimes I go to a gathering, a party, and I say, you know, I was walking through the street the other day, and I saw some, and the eyes of the person I'm talking to sort of cloud over, and because for years and years they've listened to me as they were falling asleep, and the association is too strong. Now, on the other hand, people wake up when they hear Larry.
I wanted to... I don't have any air checks because I gave them all to the Pacifica Tape Library and they lost them, which is typical of... anyway, I'm going to tell a brief story about what happened in the morning, one morning, to illustrate the anarchic spirit of this place. I came in blurry. I was a night person, too, a computer programmer, and I came in blurry-eyed and kind of half asleep. And I went to my mailbox, and there was a message from Murray the K, if you remember who he was, a very big disc jockey. He called himself the Fifth Beatle. Right. Not modest. Anyway, and I said, Murray the K wants to talk to me? And so I started the show, and I called him up, and I just put it on live, because that's what we did then. And I said, Murray? Yeah. I said, it's Larry Josephson, WBA. I said, I said, Murray, you called me. What's it about? He said, I'm on this President's Commission. This is 1967 at the height of the Vietnam War. And I says, I'm on this President's Commission to fight drugs or something like that. And I said, well, Murray, next time you see the President, tell him to, and Murray said, go bleep himself, except he didn't say bleep. And it was like, to me, a magic moment of you never know what's going to happen when you put somebody on the radio. But we had many, many wonderful, unexpected moments on that morning show, which lasted for 6 years.
Yes, the great thing about the morning show, one of the great things about the morning show, just, you know, your humor, your puns, or, but you contrived to be in the same mood as most of the listeners. You were cranky. You didn't like getting up. You didn't like having to answer the door for your bagel or see the remnants of the night before. And it was a great great series of radio programs.
Thank you. I collected your remnants, by the way, and had them shellacked, and they're now in the Museum of Broadcasting.
You never
stuff you, the residue of your program.
You never smoked them.
No.
And I'd also like to say again, since it's been about an hour since I said it last time, and also I'll identify that you've been listening to Larry Josephson and Steve Post and Bob Fass, that you can hear Bob Fass here on WBAI on Thursday nights into Friday morning, or actually Friday morning since he starts at midnight, between midnight and 3:30 a.m. every week. So if you are not familiar with Bob Fass, who has been on WBAI practically continuously for about 47 years and has... Oh, and of course, Bob Dylan was not identified in that interview that that Bob did with him many years ago. And but regular listeners to Bob on Thursday night know what he does. But if you're an evening, Sunday evening person, you can hear Bob this coming Thursday at midnight.
And Bob, we should say, gave Dylan a big boost in his career at the time when he was... Dylan was just a street musician. So,
not exactly. That's
and
not
is he grateful?
I don't really...
There he is now, waiting outside the studio.
I'm not looking for gratitude, but...
Well, I'm grateful to you, Bob.
But I'd like one of his used cars.
By the way, in that mix, which was a wonderful, fast mix of... disparate elements, abstract, surrealistic, with music and so forth. Also, we should say, is Gary Null, who, why he was there, I don't know, but...
Because he made a big contribution to keeping the station on the air.
Yeah, and he made an even bigger contribution to himself.
Well, that's
one of the true lunatics of all time. I expect to be sued for saying
that. Tell us how you really feel.
Tell us in your opinion. That was your opinion, right, Steve?
No, that was fact.
No, opinion is not actionable, Steve. It was your opinion, right? Anyway,
I stand behind my facts, not to mention my facts.
Anyway, this is wonderful. This is a great coming together. I don't know if it's going to happen in another 50 years, but
gotta be careful. It would drive the listener away.
Well, the last one was 25.
Yeah.
So I guess we only have to wait another 25.
There's something about Pacifica that just won't die, in spite of all efforts by many people to kill it. It's still here, it's still alive, and it's still doing good work. And that is truly amazing. And thanks to the listeners, too.
How old are you now?
Well, if you have final words for the moment to... lay on the audience. You can introduce and excuse yourselves. James Ersey, you're on that microphone.
Well, I'll just say briefly that I love being here, and I love being among the people who I've always considered my family, no matter what, no matter when. And God bless WBAI.
Steve?
I'll pass.
The family is an important word because WBAI has been a radio family on both sides of the microphone. I've met and married two women from here, sired many children and grandchildren, got an apartment, a career, and I'd like to say that I got a lot more from WBAI than I gave. And it's really this wonderful relationship between the audience and us on the side of the microphone that's terrific, and I hope it survives for another 50 years. I really do.
We all join, I think, in that wish, at least 50 years. Kathy Davis earlier said 500 years.
And one thing I found coming in today, meeting some people who I had not met before, there's an immediate feeling of family with everyone that you meet here. It doesn't take any time at all to recognize that we're all part of something, and that there's no tension, there's no stress. It's sort of, oh, sure, you know, you're just part of it right away. And this is WBAI in New York City and streaming on the World Wide Web.
At WBAI.org.
Thank you.
Please remember that this program is supported by the listener members of WBAI New York. If you like what you hear, please consider becoming a member of WBAI or renewing if you've already joined. Basic membership is $25, but we accept any amount. Help us keep free speech alive. Please remember that this program is supported by the listener members of WBAI New York. If you like what you hear, please consider becoming a member of WBAI or renewing if you've already joined. Basic membership is $25, but we accept any amount. Help us keep free speech alive.